is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Well, in less than 12 months, they closed our businesses, forced us to wear muzzles, kept us from our families, killed off our sports, burned down our cities, forcibly seized power, and shut down our speech. And then they accused us of the coup. That was an interesting message I seen out there in social media. I thought was a perfect place to start. And doesn't that resonate with you when it describes what has transpired this past year between COVID and this wild election season? Wow. You know, back in August, on August 30th, I had put a social media message out there, a post that said this: America has no mechanism to cope with an election, the results of which are rejected by the losing side. Yet, that may happen in election 2020. President Trump will win, perhaps even resoundingly so, but the Democrats, all of them, will not agree to accept this result. Now, that tweet was put out, as I say to you, in August, well before the election, well before anybody cast a single vote, well before we knew anything. Prophetic, wasn't it now, huh? Politico says this: across Europe, a region that's seen its share of political upheaval over the centuries, few doubt that the hit Washington suffered this week has shaken American democracy to its core, leaving deep cracks in the foundation. Well, to Europeans, the shining city on a hill now more resembles a smoldering ruin plagued by COVID. United States of Anarchy. That's it. Lots to talk about today, my fellow Americans, and we'll get started here right up front with Tim Alders. Tim is known as Mr. Constitution. He's a former talk radio host. He's an author. He was part of the Mighty American Strike Force working around the ground in the throughout the Trump campaign and through this election season. Has firsthand knowledge of a lot of the affidavits and a lot of the vote fraud that has taken place out there, and also what transpired on that day of January 6th. Welcome to the program, Tim, and let's start with you just got back to your home, which is off to the West Coast side. You're in Utah area and from D.C. Let's take it from those moments in the Capitol. Now, you got there ahead of this thing. This thing was on a Wednesday, and you got there, I think, about a day and a half, 2 days before then. Let's give folks a sense of what you've seen in the first 2 days leading up to that and what happened, please.
So I got there on Monday, and it was just an amazing feeling. I actually called my wife and said, this is the most patriotic, most Christ-like I felt in a long time, standing at the Lincoln Memorial, seeing people, talking to people, feeling the love of country, feeling the love from patriots. It was just an amazing feeling of people who were going to support a president, to thank a president for all he's done in the 4 years and for sacrificing everything, and to try and get Congress to really look at the evidence, since nobody had, for the voter fraud. So it was just all building up to the Wednesday rally of the president, and everybody was in good spirits. Everybody was having fun. It was just a great place to be. You missed out.
So everything was going well. And then what are some of the signs? Because we talked about this, that you were seeing there were some oddities with the Capitol Police there leading up to the rally. And then things kind of imploded when the president had suggested, in fact, it's been taken out of context now, when he talked about what had happened on the Capitol. They're talking about him inciting violence, but that's not what he said at his rally at all, was it?
No, it wasn't. And there was a lot of weird things. So Tuesday, you know, I'm on my little journey around getting to know people. I'm trying to hit everything. And I'm walking around and I'm noticing different things. First thing I noticed was when I left my hotel, all the businesses were starting to board up. And I spoke to one owner and I said, you know, we're not here for violence. And he goes, we're not afraid of you. We're afraid if the evidence shows that the Democrats cheated, that the BLM and Antifa will destroy our city. And so they were boarding up. And then you start walking around, you start seeing the monuments and access to everything. It was okay. And then you go over to Capitol, the Capitol grounds. And it was really weird because, as I've been telling people, there were these massive bleachers built on both sides of the steps leading up to the Capitol. You can all Google a picture of the Capitol. You see the steps on both sides. There were these massive bleachers with this green, keep out construction fencing. It's sort of a chain link fencing that you unroll, you put up with some poles,
right,
and it stays up. And the Capitol workers were pulling it down, but they weren't removing it. I work in construction. When I pull down my fencing, I roll it up because it's reusable. These guys were pushing it over and stepping on it and smashing it into the ground. So it would almost look like masses of people were pulling this down and running over the top of it. And I only put that together after I had time to sleep, and I think it's Salt Lake, and I'm looking at back details to see how we were used and manipulated. And then I'm up on the bleacher stands because I want to get a shot off the bleachers heading back to the DC monument. And as I'm up there, I see all these loose bricks and I'm like, there's no construction around here. This isn't a construction site. Why do they have bricks stacked on these bleachers? And then I just ignore it and leave. And as I'm walking back across the lawn, I see, you know, hammers, sledgehammers and ladders laying on the grass. And I'm like, this is just weird. These guys are just sloppy with our nation's capital. Mm-hmm. And I went about interviewing people and doing things and going about the day. But as I look back, I'm sitting there. Most of everybody who went there couldn't take any of those items with them. You can't put a ladder on a plane or fit it in your car. Shopping pretty much is closed in the DC area, so it's not like you can go buy.
Well, the mayor, let me mention to folks too, Mayor Muriel Bowser, she had ordered all that area closed. In fact, Tim, as I recall, she ordered all the hotels closed, the restaurants, everything else. So there was no place for patriots to even go to the bathroom, were there?
No. She was trying to make it as difficult as possible to go. And even before people were getting on their plane in Salt Lake, they were calling me and saying, now all of a sudden they're saying you need a PCR COVID test or they won't let you in Washington, D.C. Now, that ended up not being the case, and I was able to get one in one day. But airlines were notifying you. They were trying to limit the number of people to get there. And they probably did. They probably cut it down from 5 million to 1.5.
Oddly enough, the day before, they took all the fence down, which is not what you do when you have a joint session of Congress or you're trying to secure the Capitol. It's like they were inviting people in, is what I'm gathering from what you're describing. But when you see the videos and the documentation of what took place, you actually know that's what happened because you absolutely see the Capitol Police waving them in. And actually, there seem to be a lot of stage events in these videos. Talk to me about that, please.
Well, on Wednesday, it was really, really interesting because we had heard that the Capitol had been evacuated. They were worried about the mass amount of Trump supporters, even though we'd been nothing but peaceful all Tuesday and our rallies were nothing but peaceful. They had evacuated the Capitol. So there was almost no reason to even march or rally at the Capitol. But we went there and we were there. And the Capitol Police, before the president's speech had ended, I heard reports and saw videos of Capitol Police opening up the gates and allowing large groups of people in, some in Trump gear, the majority not in Trump gear, just letting them inside the Capitol. And it was interesting to me that they were doing this because there was no reason to have people inside the Capitol during an empty session of Congress. And then you see the videos of them walking down rope corridors that were put in advance to guide them through the Capitol.
Interesting.
And then these are all, if nobody's ever been to the Capitol, they have to understand that this is one of the most secure buildings in the world. It is under 24-hour surveillance, yet nobody's released any of the surveillance yet because they haven't edited it, probably. Right. And these are armored doors, and it's like it was an invitation. Hey, come on inside Pelosi's office. It's never been unlocked if staff is not in there.
And actually, they've arrested those people who were at the desk, and that's been publicized pretty heavily. A lot of the people that were in some of those grandstanding. There were also many professional rioters and instigators that were caught at other riots. They've captured those in film. What happened when everything got into the Capitol, some Trump supporters got swept up into that, but a lot of those people were outside groups. We've seen the videos of the Antifa buses coming in. You've seen that yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah. And this was on early Tuesday morning, early afternoon.
Right.
There was about three bus loads of people in full body armor, wearing helmets, Antifa garments, and you know, and police were escorting them. That was what was strange. It's like, hey, come into our city. But it's not strange when you look at how Portland welcomed Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and how Seattle welcomed them, and how California welcomed them. DC, it's like they rolled out the red carpet for these guys.
One of the things in one of the video clips you sent me, Tim, and I played this the other day on my daily program, was of the president. You know, I really went back and listened to his speech to see what he would have said that would have incited violence, figuring because all the reports are that it was so egregious what he did, and they're blaming the president. Even people like Lisa Murkowski and others who we know are moderates on the fence, but still not typically outright liars. And they're all saying they want the president out of there as well. So there's a big push right now to get him out. Let me play real quickly, just a few seconds of a recorder. This is from the president's rally now on the 6th. And listen to the words he uses.
We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country.
And you know, Tim, I only remembered that when I heard the video clip you sent me, and I went back and then listened to the whole speech to see what he did say. And he never said that was the most he would have said right there. And he used the words peacefully and patriotically, because the man is a man of law and order. He always has been. And so he never incited violence. He never told them to ransack the Capitol. He wasn't part of that. Tim, let's get to the conclusion. It seems like, I mean, all the evidence shows that this was a complete setup. Any doubt in your mind, and what's your final word on that?
I am 100% convinced this is an exact setup. I started to feel uncomfortable at the Capitol when I was on the steps, and Antifa were using fire hydrants filled with some kind of chemical, and they were spraying Trump people and yelling. They tried to make themselves look like Capitol Police. They were wearing like riot gear, but it didn't match Capitol Police. It didn't say Capitol Police. And they started spraying people in the stands and yelling, they're using tear gas on us. They're using tear gas on us. And then the Capitol Police started to use tear gas because everybody started to panic. And then they were throwing bricks and wrenches. And this all happened after I looked up at the sky and I saw this red flare dropping down from the sky. Somebody had fired a red flare, and that's when all the chaos started. And the red flare came from not where all the people were, it came from the roof of the Capitol. I think it was the signal to start the push inside the Capitol.
Interesting.
I think they had everybody in Pelosi's office. They had done their photo shoots.
Right.
They'd done everything else. So then it was the time to start acting like you're breaking windows, start using the ladder, start using the sledgehammers. Right. And that's when it all started to break down.
Let's talk about how they want to remove the president and why, Tim. The 25th Amendment versus an impeachment. Ben Carson comes out and he says, he suggests that please don't do the 25th Amendment, he says. As a nation, we need to heal, he suggests. Now, this nation is not going to heal under the current format for sure. Ben Carson goes on to say, as a nation, we need to heal. I've not talked to anyone about invoking the 25th Amendment. And I am focused on finishing what I started and uplifting the forgotten women and men of America. He sent that out there. It's time to move toward peace. We are not each other's enemies. Now, I would disagree with Ben Carson there with that message he put out there, because I think we have become enemies, sadly. Under Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, The vice president and a majority of the cabinet can declare a president unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. Now, there's a lot of push for that, Tim, but it doesn't seem at this point like they have Pence. But I'm reading a lot of reports where, you know, Pelosi and Schumer and others are really putting the pressure on. What's your sense of that?
You know, Pence shouldn't turn. He says he's leaving Congress anyway. He's done with politics. But they will find something to get Pence to turn. I have no faith in Pence. When I watched how Pence handled the oversight of the certification of the election, I know this man has lost his character, his strength of will to defend the Constitution of the United States. So, and they've already turned the cabinet members. We're already seeing that happen. At least we're hearing about that happening. We have to be very careful. The reason they want our president gone, the president that has served for 4 years, sacrificed everything, not taken a paycheck, is because in their mind, twisted as it may be, he leads an army of 70 million plus patriots that are well-armed. And they want to destroy our ability to communicate with each other, to organize, and to ever do these type of rallies or marches or elections again.
What do you think Pence could have done back to the joint session of Congress again, back to the 6th, what was supposed to happen? What in your mind could he have done? Because there were a lot of reports that he couldn't do anything. What could he have done?
Well, the Constitution allows states to certify the election. They send a slate of electors in, but most states send two slates of electors. The Democrats have tried to use this forever. They send two sealed envelopes. One are the electors that were picked by the election, and one is an alternate set of electors that were selected by the legislature of the state. What people were trying to urge Pence to do and what Pence had the authority to do is accept one of two of those slates. Now, if he would have done that, then Pennsylvania, Wisconsin comes from Republican Congresses in their own state. The electors would have supported Trump. They weren't held to what the election stated. So they were wanting Pence to pass up on the one envelope and take the second envelope. And Pence at that time says, hey, we have to go with what the election states, which is true if it was a fair election.
Right. You know, Tim, it's a full onslaught here right now that's happening, and it appears to be a takeover. I mean, in many ways, do you see this as a takeover of our country?
You know, I find it interesting because they said what happened in Washington, D.C. with the Trump supporters was an attempted coup. Well, they're just upset because they haven't quite finished off their coup. They are probably the largest cartel and the largest violation of the antitrust laws of our nation that has ever existed. Mm-hmm. The Sherman Act prohibits every contract combination in the form of trust or otherwise or conspiracy in restraint of trade or commerce. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest conspiracy of two or more distinct enterprises trying to shut down the First Amendment of this nation, freedom of speech. Mm-hmm.
It's happening right now. I mean, it is absolutely happening. There's no doubt about it. Now, impeachment. Let's talk about that a moment. One of the reports I want to tell folks on Lindsey Graham. You know, I know I say that name and everybody has strong feelings about that man. They either like him and probably a lot of people don't like him right now. It's a strange love affair or hate affair they have with Lindsey Graham. And it changes all the time. He's one of those people that I think he's struggling, Tim, between the swamp and the establishment and what he sees as America being drained away. And I've seen that struggle with Graham over several years. You know what I mean?
We see it with a lot of legislatures. They're right. Caught between exactly. Their lives in Washington, D.C., and the power and pressure that's being put onto them by the people with money and their constituents.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I see with Graham. Love him, hate him, whatever. So the report I want to share with people is he's begging Joe Biden to order Nancy Pelosi to impeach Donald Trump again, warning it will destroy the country even further, he says. And of course, everybody probably has seen his emotional plea on the floor there when he said enough is enough and this is enough. And you know, Graham, he always gets dramatic with everything. I mean, that's just who he is and how he operates. And so what they're trying to do now is they are threatening in strong arm in Pence, the cabinet, that if they don't do the 25th Amendment, Tim, they're going to go ahead and do this impeachment in full lock and step here. I'm seeing a lot of reports that McConnell will take it up. And it's hard to judge right now, but it looks like McConnell is turning quickly as well. Not that we ever thought he was going to be a knight in shining armor for sure when it comes to patriotism and conservatism in this country, because he is not any of that, never has been. Can they do it that quick?
Oh, yeah. The thing about the 25th Amendment is quick. The thing about impeachment, the Congress can work very quickly if they're all on board with the same agenda. They limit debate. They limit arguments. They're all on the same board. They just bring it to a quick vote. They vote. It's done. Mitch McConnell has already stated he's on board. He's already put out the process for impeachment. The only chance we would have is if somebody like a Rand Paul or a Ted Cruz would try to carry on debate and arguments, which they're not assigning enough time for even those people to fight impeachment.
That's it.
And the interesting thing is, with the Mitt Romneys of the world, they have the votes now to impeach him in the Senate.
Tim and I did a full hour, which is a must listen to. I've got so many reports in on this program. And if you didn't hear that, it played on the Voice of a Nation, daily program, as you know, friends. And you'll want to go hear that. You can hear it again Monday morning at 8, by the way. It will play in the morning drive time. And it's DC Riots, Fact or Fiction. And we get into a lot of it there. It's well done. And Tim is on there with me for that program. Also, Tim has a column, an article up on the platform. Washington, DC is not the solution. It's really an encapsulation of his journey to the rally up there on the 6th, what had transpired, what's happened from there. And it's a good read. You'll want to go read that. It's on AmericaOutloud.com as I talk to you now. Now, listen, we are in for some rocky roads ahead. I'm going to tell you that now, my fellow Americans. We've been talking about these moments for some time. I mean, we've been talking about these for months. It's hard to believe we're here. I understand that. I mean, I totally get it. We also know that our way of life, I truly believe right now, is in jeopardy. I'm getting a lot of hate mail and a lot of threats, a lot of that sort of thing at the network in here, as you can imagine. That will amp up, I'm sure. We are going to be a target for sure. Anybody that stands for freedom when you have a communist takeover is going to be a threat. I don't say this lightly. I can't even believe I'm having this conversation with you, to be quite frank with you. And I don't think you know me well enough to know how I feel about all of this. So there's a lot of chapters to write here, is what I would suggest to you. This is by far just beginning, this battle. And it will be a battle for the soul of America, which I've been telling you about for years now at America Out Loud. It is the soul of humanity that is in question right now. It is absolutely the fight of good and evil. And my fellow Americans, we sit at the center of that storm. It actually happened in your lifetime right now. Let me give you these words here from Thomas Jefferson. This says plenty to me. It's always good to go back and look at what smart people said back in the day. And he said this: when government fears the people, there is liberty. When the people fear the government, there is tyranny. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Yeah, I want to talk about the military component of this next. Let me bring on Brian Gold. He served in the U.S. Army and U.S. Special Forces for over 3 decades. He's worked with the Department of Defense, and he's a great voice out there, if you've heard him before on the program here.
one of the things I'm seeing a lot of reports, and I want to read this to you here. Let me just read this headline to you. Goes like this. Some among America's military allies believe Trump deliberately attempted a coup and may have had help from federal law enforcement officials. Now, this is being run in the regular mainstream media. It's in multiple news cycles, as well as Business Insider here. There's several. And it goes on, Brian, to say this. Multiple European security officials told Insider that President Donald Trump appeared to have tactic support among U.S. federal agencies responsible for securing the Capitol complex in Wednesday's coup attempt. We are reporting this information because it illustrates the serious repercussions of the events. Even if they are mistaken, some among America's international military allies are now willing to give credence to the idea that Trump deliberately tried to violently overturn an election and had help from federal law enforcement agents. Now, as I talked about earlier in the program, I read you I let you listen to the president when he talked at the rally on the 6th. He said peacefully and patriotically. He never incited violence ever in the Capitol. Never heard that in the rally. Never seen any part of it. I also proved to you with firsthand knowledge early in the show what the Capitol Police did up there in waving everybody in, laying the fences down, and inviting that all to happen. And the mix in of the instigators from other areas of the country that were bussed in under professional guidance. Whatever you want to call them, the Antifa folks, you can use many adjectives there. So, Brian, there's a sense now that this Capitol, yeah, there was a coup, but it was on the other side of what they tried to do. It appears to be the Capitol thing was a staged event, is what it appears to be. All indications seem to point that way. What are you hearing in your military circles, number one, based on that? And what do you think about this report coming out of them blaming Trump for the coup?
I think it's pretty hypocritical to start laying this back at Trump's feet. It wasn't Trump who a year ago took a knee in the rotunda in support of Black Lives Matter and Antifa after they had set Milwaukee and St. Louis and Los Angeles and Portland and Seattle on fire and destroyed millions of dollars of property. But what we're hearing right now on the military side is a typical draw tactic. They knew the rally was going to happen. They knew they would have to go through the metal detectors and all to get to the rallies, so they're going to be virtually unarmed. So they set them up. It was a draw to get people into the Capitol. It was a draw to make us look like violent thugs. And then people like Twitter and Facebook have been slowly erasing all the statements from state people like Ocasio-Cortez, Nancy Pelosi, and all those people from the Twitter feed so that people can't go back and research it. It was a well-orchestrated, beautifully organized draw tactic, and it worked very well. And our allies in Europe have been waiting for an event like this as well, because let's face it, they have not done well under the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to milk us as they have been in the past under previous presidents. And they wanted a change. They like the Democrats in charge. Historically, the Democrats don't do well at foreign policy, and they've set this up beautifully. And basically the last voice left, if you'll call it that anymore, is the Fox News Network, and they've been neutered, and they'll soon go away. And that's been well planned as well. That's been very well orchestrated by the purchase of Disney. And that's all comes back to our enemies overseas working very well in concert with the Democrats to help take over the country. And not take it over in a military sense, but take it over in an economic sense where they're benefiting from our sweat and labor and from our money. And that's exactly what's happened. It's been very well done. You have to give them credit.
What do you think about the military? When push comes to shove over the next week and a half, they're talking about a 25th Amendment. They're talking about impeachment, which I talked about in front of the program. What's your sense of what will the military do at this point? Will they stand down? Will they get involved?
I think from the military side, the military has not done the president any favors. It has not been a supporter of them. It's been dragging its feet because it really has become one of the ultimate bureaucracies out there and money generators for the military-industrial complex. But I think when the push comes to shove, I don't think you'll see the military, active-duty military, get involved in this. I think they'll keep quiet. They'll be some 4-stars and 3-stars who are having a political future will rattle the sabers some more. But as far as the military itself getting involved, no. They'll use the National Guard. They'll use the ATF and the CBP. Customs and Border Patrol has a very, very large armed contingent that looks like the military. I think that's what you'll see more of. You may see DHS throw some of the same people that guarded the federal buildings in Portland and Seattle. The guard was on site in Washington, D.C. when all this control happened or all this protest happened. They said, do you want us to come? And the mayor of D.C. said no. Right. As well as DHS had troops on standby as well, riot control troops. And the mayor said no. They wanted it to escalate. They did not want.
What do you, any guess to what happens, what the president might do between now and the 20th, number one? What do you answer that first? What do you think might happen?
I do not believe the president has a lot of options at this point between now and the 20th. I think he's keeping people at bay. He's trying to keep the Democrats guessing. He's trying to keep them, as I like to say, using resources away from the actual fight. I think right now he's trying to get out of there, get transferred over, and do basically what President Obama did when he left office, which is continue the fight from outside of D.C. And then eventually move back into D.C. as it goes closer to 2024. I don't know any options he has left. The Supreme Court has not gotten involved. The Congress, the Republicans in both the House and the Senate, they've shown their weakness at every turn they possibly could for the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. Their lack of unity is at best disheartening. At worst, it's almost treacherous. Mm-hmm. It really is a shame to see. So without any allies, without any support, and now they're using a heavy social media campaign against him, I don't see any other options.
So you don't think the president is going to put up a fight further then? You don't think there's another plan or strategy coming from where he's at?
I think any further confrontation at this point will just hurt his cause after the 20th. There is a contingent within the Republican Party that says, let them have it so the world can see how bad they are. I think that's a pretty crappy strategy for the rest of us, mm-hmm. Especially when you're probably some rich politician sit behind some wall somewhere thinking, let the world burn for a little bit and we'll come in and put the fire out later. But I do believe that's the strategy they're going to use.
Let me bring on Ilana Friedman now. Ilana is a veteran intelligence analyst, political commentator, host of the Friedman Report here at America Out Loud. Do you have any sense about, let's just talk about this, what the options might be? We know they're trying to do the 25th Amendment. We get that. We understand the impeachment. We talked about that already. We got that. So they want to get him out of there so he never runs for office. Back to when Brian just referenced 2024. That's why they want to impeach him, because then they don't want him to be accessible again. But what options does President Trump have, do you see right now, with all this evidence still percolating out there?
You know, it's very interesting. A while back, he wrote a book. We all know about his book, The Art of the Deal. But he wrote another book called The Art of the Comeback. He apparently at one point lost all of his fortune. And he was really on the skids, and he came back with a rush, with a huge force, and became a billionaire again. This is somebody, I heard somebody who has known him for a long time say this. He said, this is a man who is at his best when he's backed in the corner. And I think this is what you need to think about Donald Trump. He is not lying somewhere in a corner, licking his wounds. He is strategizing as what his plan is going to be for the next few days, for the next few weeks and months and years. And he's going to work it all out, and he is going to come back. He is an amazing man. We've seen him do things in the last 4 years that people thought were impossible.
That's right.
It could
That's
never right. be done.
And the way you phrase that, Ilana, with what had happened early in his career, you're right. And he did lose it all. And then that was the art of the comeback. And it's funny, because when he came into the political world, he didn't have a lot of that political experience. He didn't really know where the bones were buried or where they left the garbage on the boulevard there in Washington, D.C. But he found out real quick how bad this establishment is and how corrupt our government is. I'm looking at a lot of evidence, a lot of reports and things that he may have gotten 100 million votes. I don't know, but they're telling me all kinds of things I'm seeing over here. And there are reports, and let me just put it out there, that Italy was involved and other countries out there were involved in this uploading of votes and all this. It sounds crazy stuff. Are you hearing anything about that?
There are a lot of theories out there, and there's a lot of information out there, and some of it is true and some of it is not. I can give you some of the basics that I have been hearing.
Let me hear them. What are they, please?
Okay. According to an American source, since mid-November, the United States Embassy in Rome was coordinating the data manipulation mm-hmm. of votes that were cast for Donald Trump and switching them to Joe Biden. And they had the technical help, and this is what's interesting. They had the technical help of a company called Leonardo SPA. It's a multi-billion dollar company, technology company, that has a US-based subsidiary, which is Leonardo DRS. And their CEO is William Lynn II, who was formerly, are you ready, Undersecretary of Defense during the Clinton administration. This company is now actively pursuing a public listing on the New York Stock Exchange. This is all very, very smelly. And I will have a lot more information over the next few days and weeks because the research has really just begun. But it's going to take an awful lot of work to verify the information we're getting. And we have a different problem because there are, in addition to the facts, which are really hard to come by, because the press is in lockstep to prevent the real truth from coming out. And everything that's connected to the 2020 election or the president-elect Joe Biden now, it makes the job of sorting through the intelligence much, much harder. But in addition to that, there's a proliferation of conspiracy theories that are all mixed in with the facts of the case. And so getting through them to the truth, that's what we're doing, but it's a Herculean task.
Understand,
and it's
okay. Let me bring Brian, you back on here, your voice here a moment. And, you know, you hear a lot of reminders about the art of the comeback. And we know Trump, again, there are a lot of people who have, I think we're leaning too much on one person. And I say that respectfully, but I think a lot of people are waiting for something to happen. You know what worries me the most, Brian? We're in a total different environment today than we've been in previously in this country. We have now two or three generations that have been brought up in a complete indoctrination of that socialism, which is communism, is warm and friendly and can work anywhere. We have that problem, but it's bigger than that. We now have the levers of control and the megaphone to our nation, which I've been screaming about for years now, that is totally owned by the Marxist left. And there is a takeover happening in our country. Every fiber in my body tells me right now, we are in serious, serious difficulty. Tell me I'm wrong, Brian, or tell me what you see, please.
Alcon, I think you're absolutely right. And here is the core to me. Here's the core problem and how we got into it. About 20 years ago, about the turnabout of Afghanistan, we stopped relying on operations people, and no disrespect for Lana, I have a tremendous amount of respect for her. We started relying more on analysts. Well, analysts require information from the past, and we had to stop looking to the past because you hit the nail on the head. This is not the past. This is now. This is 2021. Different rule book, different game. We need to stop looking to analysts to find out what the truth was because it doesn't matter at this point. We lost that battle. Give it up. Move on. You're absolutely right in that we've relied too much on the president to do all of our heavy lifting. Americans have to be involved at their ground roots in local politics and move through the system. George Soros had the right playbook. Put people in office that will carry my water. George Soros never shows his face, but he is in everything. So are, you know, a lot of the other giant people like Jeff Bezos and Dorsey and all those guys, they're not out there. They sponsored people for politics. And you're right, we relied on one man to do all of our fighting for us because we were too lazy to get out and do it. And we got to stop relying on analysts to do our operations. We fought this battle in special forces for 20 years, and the CIA fought this battle, the DEA fought this battle. As more analysts became in charge, they used past information to spin the narrative. And that's where we're at today. We need to rely on doers and not research people.
Brian, I think we're so close to the edge right now that my guess is, and it's just a guess, but as I've been watching everything, and I would say we are not really terribly far off. I think it will take one more additional spark And we are probably at the verge of some sort of a civil war and a confrontation of this country we haven't seen really since 1860.
I unfortunately could not agree with you more, Malcolm. I think there are enough people that feel betrayed by the system, mm-hmm. that feel powerless and that they have no options. And I can tell you from experience in the field, whenever you run against the people who feel like they have no options and no hope, the next step is usually violence. I don't subscribe to that. I'm not supporting that. I'm just telling you, historically, in the unconventional warfare field, when you put people without hope and you put people without any other recourse, violence is what they go to. And I don't think America is ready for that kind of violence. It's not something we've seen probably since the 1800s, right. What we're talking about. It is really at a very ugly spot in our history. But I don't see how it's going to go any other way.
Right. Well, and, you know, when you say it that way, let me just say to you, and I hear you, and I hear a lot of people say that about the word violence. But, you know, Brian, and respectfully, I say this, and I think you would agree with what I say here, and it's this. You look historically at the United States of America, and let me just remind all of you out there, we didn't get to this point at 245 years with this American experiment with a free walk in the park here. There are people who have given their life up. There are millions and millions and millions of our ancestors who have gone that way so that you could breathe today and understand what liberty is all about. You see, we have spent our treasure around the world saving countries and saving mankind. We have fought the fight of good and evil, and now we can't be worried about violence. And I just want to remind my military friend here as well that, you know, never, they didn't stop at these major points of confrontation. Americans say, do we want to, you know, maybe we should avoid violence, because sometimes it is inevitable and it is at our doorstep and it is the only salvation and fight forward. And I say that as a peaceful patriot in all. Brian, you agree or disagree with what I say there?
Unfortunately, I agree with you, Malcolm. I really do. I hate to see it. Okay. But let's face it, for the last 9 months, it's worked for BLM and Antifa. They've gotten their way by burning cities and taking ground.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to look at that eventually and go, it works.
That's right. That's absolutely it, Brian. And the left has used it swimmingly to take us apart here. Alani, you know, I say that respectfully, what I just said there, but I do believe we're at the point of, you know, there's just not going to be a lot of options here anymore. And for us to whimper out anymore and say, well, we got to, you know, what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is to become a Marxist communist country. Is that an alternative you all want to live with?
No, of course we don't want to live with. And I think there are, you know, at least 80 million people out there who agree with you.
Benjamin Franklin said, whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech. Go figure, huh? And guess what's happening right now? Got a fiery segment coming up there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference. What you're seeing happening right now is the political, media, tech, world establishment extraordinaire. They are quickly, I mean, like rapidly consolidating their powers, what's happening. And this is all, they're using the Capitol Hill for justification. They're using January 6th and saying the president incited violence. Now, I've already proved to you, I played his words earlier for you. He said peacefully, he said patriotically. He never, never incited them to tear the Capitol apart. That wasn't his plan, that was their plan. Let's be very clear on what we're dealing with, people, okay? Talk about facts and data. We don't need any theorist. We just need to deal with real life. And so they have now deplatformed the president of the United States. That's been done in a lot of these tech worlds. We knew that was sort of coming, but here it is. And now you're seeing all the signs of, again, the 25th Amendment, the impeachment, the guy's crazy, you know, that sort of thing. Elon Musk comes out and he says in response to the Capitol riots, and he kind of puts a dig out there to Facebook, and he says that Dorsey, Zuckerberg, Google are dangerous to America. I'm kind of liking Elon Musk with what he says there, because he is right spot on here. Dorsey, Zuckerberg, Google are dangerous to America. There's a whole lot of people dangerous to America, I'll tell you that. Let me bring on Dr. Marty Foxes here. Haven't talked in a while, Marty, but it's great to have you. And Dr. Marty Fox is a political analyst. He's a public speaker, physician, former talk show host. You know, I mentioned to listeners before the pause there, Benjamin Franklin's quote there, which I love. Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freeness of speech. Marty, I've never seen anything in my lifetime like this. Talk to me. What's happening?
This is completely expected. The left, throughout history, suppresses speech. They want to suppress dissent. They do this everywhere they can. And right now, they're using the pretense of Trump inciting the riots to deplatform the president, Trump supporters, any conservative speech. And it looks like that is all choreographed this way. It looks to me like this was all planned. And this is one of the goals, is to shut down dissent. You had these riots that, by all evidence, look, video and everything, appear to be an Antifa false flag operation. You have video showing the Capitol Police acting as tour guides, letting these people in. And what is that about? They let them in at precisely the time that the fraud that has been blacked out everywhere was going to be discussed on the floor, where the American people would hear probably for the very first time details of the fraud. So it was so convenient for it to happen at just that time. And even more convenient is the stories that began just at that time, beginning with the New York Times, about Trump inciting riots, almost as if they were written the night before. And this is before anybody could even know who the people were. So they always want to shut down speech. You have Twitter, Apple, and Google are trying to shut down Parler. One of the reasons is that President Trump said he was going to go to Parler, but even if he wasn't, they just wanted to shut down any dissent, conservative speech. Why? Because, number one, it makes it more difficult for us to organize. They need to brainwash the population. They can't hear a dissenting view. Yeah. And I think they're also very worried about President Trump using the platforms to declassify documents, exposing the crimes of Democrats, the swamp, the Republican swamp. I think that's one of the other things they're concerned about. They want to shut that off.
But Marty, is this in your heart of hearts, is your sense, is this what it feels like? Is this an attempted takeover of our country?
Yes, it feels very much like a takeover. We know that China was involved in this election. They are our number one enemy. We know a lot of the people of Biden are in bed with China. There are reports where they actually gave him political advice and wrote talking points for him. It's not an accident that the CCP talking points sound exactly like the Democrat talking points. So it feels it's not just an election. It is a suppression of Americanism. Trumpism is Americanism. Yeah. You have the Chinese Communist Party involved. They stole, in your face, they stole the presidential election and the runoff in Georgia. And why did they do it in our faces like that? Because they knew that nothing was going to be done. They knew they were not going to be punished for it. The corruption is so far and wide.
Exactly.
Extending. Who would have thought that the Supreme Court would not even hear one of these cases?
Right, right. Well, the establishment is, as you say, pretty deep, pretty far, pretty wide. I'm hearing reports, as you probably are as well, about involvement in the votes being changed. We're hearing a lot of things coming out of Italy. We're seeing a lot of things, even other countries are being mentioned. I've heard rumblings. I've gotten so much in here. The UK, I've heard Canada. I've heard a lot of things. What is your sense about international players beyond China?
I think that I've seen the reports and I've seen how the votes were switched. I think some of it may have to do with not doing it on American soil. There may be some laws related to that, but it certainly appears that these machines are connected to Wi-Fi, internet, in spite of everything they say. And it looks very much like, and you know, throughout the summer, we spoke about the mail-in fraud, the COVID right. excuse for the mail-in. You know, what we see here now is that they needed those ballots. Trump's vote was so overwhelming that it blew up the algorithm on the machines, which were designed just to have you win by a small margin so it right. wouldn't be detectable. And so it turns out they needed those mail-in ballots as another insurance policy. And that's why they had to stop the voting and bring in those other ballots, because the algorithm couldn't keep up with
it. Exactly. There are reports that he might have received 100 million votes. I certainly wouldn't be surprised to know that well more than 100 million people would support this administration, because a lot of people don't vote. But clearly, I mean, we all were shaking our heads afterward wondering how could Biden have gotten 80 million votes. It appears he didn't get 80 million votes, Marty, huh?
No, I don't think so. And it also explains why everybody was so confounded when Hillary lost. According to mm-hmm. some of the experts I've been listening to, they used these machines in a Hillary election.
Exactly. Yeah.
But they weren't prepared, you know, because Trump blew up the algorithm in that election also. Right. And they weren't prepared with these fraudulent mail-in ballot.
See, Marty, what that tells me is the core of America has seen this coming, and they've actually been ready for some time. They know what's been happening to our country, and that's why you're seeing all the support thrown behind the president, because they also knew that Donald Trump was an anomaly, a person, a figure in American history that comes along every so blue moons there, and somebody that could change the course of direction that people would rally around. Of course, what Trump has done in the meantime, Marty, is he's rubbed a lot of salt in the wound. A lot of his Twitter feed, a lot of the other things has really not just irritated, but it's actually inflamed the left. And I think it's got them to the point where they have made the kinds of leaps they've made in a frenzy mode, because they see the country slipping away from them, from their view of being a communist Marxist nation, the United Socialist States of America, or whatever the hell you want to call it. Am I making any sense? You buy any of that?
No, not only are you making sense, but this social media purge is the tip of the iceberg. Yeah. I expect in the next 2 years, rapid change. They're going to hit everything as fast as they can. They're going to get rid of the filibuster rule. They're going to add senators. I don't know if they have to pack the court if you have Roberts there. I don't even know if it's necessary.
Well, and they've already said in the last couple of days, D.C. is becoming a state. That's not a theory. That's happening. Biden put out a tweet a few months ago saying it's a swell idea. The D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, comes out and says, yeah, it's time to do that. And then we know Puerto Rico will be behind it. We know the more additional senators mm-hmm. and congressional districts. We know what that all means. Marty, when you say the next 2 years, and you reference mm-hmm. that at this point, when a hostile power grabs the controls, like what appears to be happening here, one of the first things they do when they do that is they secure the power. They batten down the hatches, they lock the doors and the windows, and they secure the power back to the media, right. the social media, all the things you and I are talking about right now. But let me ask you this. Right now, the 20th is still a distance away. They're grasping for the 25th Amendment and the impeachment and to do whatever else they can to get them out of there. Now, it was reminded to me earlier in the program here, Marty. Not only did Donald Trump, and I don't want to put this all on Trump. I'm not one of these frenzied, crazy people who think he's the answer for everything. There are too many of those out there in our public square. You know what I'm saying, Marty? You know, he's one man who needs a nation behind him, or he's not going to have anything. With that, what do we see between now and then? Because it was reminded to me, not only did he write The Art of the Deal, but remember this, and this was a great reminder, my friend. He also wrote The Art of the Comeback. But do you think it's over with him, or do you think, how is he strategizing right now? Get into Trump's mind for me right now and share with our listeners and share with me, please. What are the options? Let's talk about maybe not that 2 years being what it could be. Is there any possibilities, and what might they be, sir?
Well, I think they're trying to shut that off, because one of the reasons they want to impeach him and remove him, not just impeach him, is to disqualify him from running again.
Exactly.
That's what all the frenzy is about. Exactly. And I think they're going to do it. McConnell, these people are brazenly, openly on board with this. You saw Pence doing an elbow bump with Pelosi.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all on this. So I expect not going to surprise me one bit if in this week they impeach and remove him so he can't run again. What can he do? Can start a platform somewhere that is protected in some way where we can communicate. He can do that. I don't know if he's going to be able to run again if they impeach and remove him. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that.
You don't see any way for him. You don't see any way for this country to stop the Biden on the 20th. You don't see any way for that to happen.
No, I don't think anything's going to stop on the 20th. I thought he might invoke his executive order until he conceded. Until I was sort of hoping, I thought he would wait for all the usual means, the Senate on January 6th, the Congress, the electors. And if that failed, I was expecting him to invoke his executive order. But he didn't do that. He hasn't declassified anything that he could declassify. And I don't know if we're going to see anything else from him between now and the 20th.
So you think they might have gotten the best of this at the moment, and they're in the driver's seat, huh?
Yes, it looks that way.
What a sad day for this country, Marty.
Very sad. Very sad. And they're going to, I think they're going to come for the guns very early. They're going to probably do it by imposing some insurance premium. That, you know, remember, these are just laws, like voting laws. You know, they can do whatever they want. They have control of all the levers of power. They have control of everything. And we are now the resistance. It is left to us to be the resistance. In the next election, you're going to have Dominion, Smartmatic. You're going to have all the same system. And until you get rid of that, I don't know if we can get anybody elected.
What's the words of wisdom or optimism you leave people?
I think we have to look for any opportunity we can. We have to challenge these laws in the courts for whatever it's worth, whatever they try to impose on us. We need another leader besides Trump. You know, I always thought Ron DeSantis would make a great president. And if he wants it, we need somebody. Trump won't be around forever, even if he sticks around for a little while. So we need other people. Ron DeSantis is one. And I think he would make a great president. He's combative in just the right way. And we have to overcome this election system, because without that, I don't think we're going to get anybody elected who's going to represent us.
I get the gravity of the moment and the sense of what has taken place, and it is most alarming to me. And I'm ready to take on whatever the challenges are here ahead that we have to take on. And so our job here now at America Out Loud is magnified, is all I can say to you. We have got to become, we're going to have to ramp things up now. We are the beacon of what's going to happen here. We need everybody's help here. Cheap talk is cheap talk. Don't give me cheap talk. Let me see your action. Let me see what you're going to do. That's what we need to talk about now. That's the game plan, and we've got to become that beacon. That's our only shot, or our liberty's gone. As I said earlier, don't even worry about the grandkids or the kids. Worry about your own life right now, because it's happening right now in this lifetime. It's not something about a future generation anymore. It's right here at the doorstep. So I'll leave you with that word and leave you with the optimism of the American spirit and the people who have fought and died for this nation over 245 years. corruption always leaks into these things. And we knew this would happen with the American experiment. And here we are. And I tell you, at each broadcast and each program at the end, and I'll leave you with this now again, join us on the mission. It's time to get involved and get loud.